WHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Amazon still tweaking a fix to an outage that knocked out popular apps and websites around the world today. BBC tech reporter Chris Vallance.
Is it maybe an update that didn't work out? You know, that sometimes happens with our own computers, doesn't it? We update them and things go wrong. Or is it something more sinister? We've no evidence at the moment that this was anything to do with a cyber attack.
Federal agency, they found what could have been a sniper stand near the Florida airport President Trump uses. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Sources tell CBS News it's located across the highway from the airport in trees more than 200 yards away. Whatever it is, officials think it's been there for months.
The winner of tonight's Mariners-Blue Jays game heads to the World Series against the Dodgers. Toronto manager John Schneider.
Whenever you can play for Game 7 to go to the World Series, it sounds kind of cool to say it, you know, but this is why we sacrifice everything.
Blue Jays beat Seattle 6-2 in Game 6 of the ALCS, forcing a Game 7. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
4 WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state announced the first positive case of Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or EEE, on Friday. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection confirms the case of EEE in Marathon County in a 5-year-old colt. EEE and West Nile virus are only transmitted by mosquito bites and are not contagious between horses. These viruses can cause inflammation of the brain. According to the DATCP, EEE is fatal in most horses showing signs of illness. Confirmation of an infection in the state confirms the presence of EEE in the mosquito population. The virus can be transmitted to people and animals through an infected mosquito bite. Horses can be vaccinated for Eastern Equine Encephalitis and West Nile virus, and officials recommend reducing exposure to mosquitoes by keeping horses in the barn from dusk to dawn when mosquitoes are most active. The 2025 pheasant season opened on Saturday and will continue through Sunday, January 4th. Starting Monday, October 20th, the daily bag limit increases to 2 roosters per day. This limit remains in place for the remainder of the season. For more information, including complete pheasant hunting regulations, shooting hours, and helpful tips, visit the DNR's pheasant hunting website. The City of Wisconsin Rapids has a new website. As of Friday, you'll no longer receive meeting notifications if you haven't signed up for them on the new website. It's been live since the end of July, and there was a grace period before the old notification system was shut down. To continue or start receiving meeting notifications, you'll need to sign into the new website and subscribe to the notifications you would like to receive. You have the option of email or text or both. You can sign up at wirapids.gov. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers outlast the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Arizona, where the Packers beat the Cardinals here last night, 27-23. The Packers' substitute kicker, Lucas Haversick, set a new franchise record with a 61-yard field goal. Micah Parsons had 3 quarterback sacks in the game, the most in his career. Parsons also jumped off sides, allowing the Cardinals to stay alive, but Rashawn Gary able to force a fumble that Green Bay recovered.
The big play, the offsides by me, which is completely unacceptable. We got a right back when we came out and RG with the fumble, so that's the complimentary side. They mess up, make up for us, and we made up for them, and that's the good thing.
The road trip got off to a bad start when the team plane had to be grounded due to a mechanical problem. They didn't leave for Phoenix until 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Obviously, we already have a long, you know, plane ride, and then we were sitting basically on the terminal for about 5 or some hours.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, breezy, with high temperatures in the lower 60s. For tonight, some showers, mainly in the evening, chilly with lows in the upper 30s. Showers redeveloping on Tuesday, mainly in the afternoon. It will be quite chilly and breezy with highs only in the mid-40s. It's 35 at our studios.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local No Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Monday morning, October 20th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy standing by in Madison A1. First to note that author Laura Ann Bird joins us at the bottom of the hour to talk about some book festivals around Wisconsin, exactly what they are and why you might want to consider attending one. A reminder that you can always sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter is whether online sports betting tied to tribal casinos in Wisconsin should be a thing. There are sports books at some casinos, but what about online where you can place bets on professional sports through tribal casinos based here in this state? Let us know your thoughts by heading over to sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, Civic Media has its own daily newsletter. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com to learn more. And speaking of Civic Media from WMDX down there in beautiful Madison, John and Gordy are joining us now to talk about their weekend. And I will start by saying good morning, guys. This weekend is brought to you by Aleve for when you've been power washing the siding and attacking buckthorn and putting away deck furniture. But it was the perfect fall weather weekend for doing some of that fall house stuff. Home ownership, man, ain't nothing like it.
Oh, I know. I love it myself. You know, I was doing the stairway up to the upper deck, and it's all wood, and I was trying to preserve it, and it rained the next day. So that was a self-defeating moment for Mr. Handyman here. You know, but what the heck, you know, that's what happens when you're a homeowner. You just got to work with what you get.
If you let things go, like I did with the buckthorn, it just makes it that much harder when you finally go in after it. So it never ends.
You know, I got a charging station now for my EV, my car, my electronic space car. And I've got a charging station in the home now. It was installed, a lot of money. But it's done, and now I can charge it any damn time I want.
And anybody else who wants to stop by John's house,
bring
your electric toothbrush, plug it right in. We'll charge that up. We'll get all kinds of things charged up and going for you.
That's right.
Gordy, you didn't work nearly as hard as the rest of us, did you?
Oh, he did.
Well, actually, I worked. I still had to wrap up my move from the east, from the west side of Madison to the east side of Madison in the middle of all everything else that was going on in Madison with the protests, the No Kings protest, and of course the Badger game on Saturday.
See, he wants to be with the hippies on the east side of Madison. He wants to hang out with them.
Yeah.
The patchouli oil and the beaded curtains in the doorways. That's
Oh man, but I picked the wrong weekend to move.
You did.
But we got it all done.
He had to go through the No Kings parade.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking now on the text line. Troy in Mount Horeb has been uploading pictures from the rally there. Again, all kinds of great signs. Here's another one going, I am Antifa. I don't know if there's an Uncle Tifa, but I like your sign there. And I was saying before, I mean, times like these, you really find out that even in times of, you know, despair and crises, people are funny, man. When they need to be, when they need to make a protest sign, they're good.
Yeah, I think they've got the hand on the pulse of the nation by going in costumes and making it fun. So that if anything does happen, if they get hassled by the cops or the National Guard, it'll look really, really bad for them because they're hauling away a unicorn or a giant bee or maybe
a slightly Merlin deflated T-Rex.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, there were all kinds of great signs. I love the costumes. And again, just the, how do I put this? I mean, people that they totally care about their country and not just about themselves. It's not just like, you know, my social security or something. And they're caring about the people who are being rounded up on the streets. They're caring about people other than themselves. And I think it was all in all a very positive experience for the country.
Yeah, in fact, it contradicted a lot of the stereotypes that the right wing tried to portray about these events, because they always said, well, all the signs are the same, they're prefabricated and all that stuff. That is completely opposite of what we saw. Yeah. Everybody created their own sign.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I thought it was maybe when I looked at the times, because the times were all over the place. Some started at 9 a.m., some started later. And I thought it was a little odd that the Madison one was going to basically coincide with a football game. And then I realized there's so many people, they wanted any reason not to go to the football game anyway.
Right.
So, can we rally for every Badger football team home game for the foreseeable future? I mean, we'll find a reason if we have to.
Well, one interesting statistic is that there were no arrests for the big No Kings rally at the Capitol. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there were 17, I think, arrests at the UW Badger game. So maybe Trump should get the National Guard out to protect us at the
Camp Randall game.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the other thing that somebody noted, is that in all of the pictures from all these protests, you don't see like grifters selling their T-shirts and their flags. Exactly. You saw that the sidewalks were left clean, and as somebody else said, and Grindr didn't crash. So, I mean, unlike a lot of the January 6th, you know, and related stuff, you know, these were folks who were very task focused, and it wasn't just another, you know, sideshow like it seems to be at a lot of these Trump rallies and things like that. So I really got to tip my cap to folks.
Yeah, leaving the streets and the sidewalks clean was something that I noticed as well. I watched a lot of the opposition, the right wing postings of the empty streets, you know, saying no one showed up. You know, it was after the event, of course, but the streets were absolutely sparkling. I mean, there was not a thing on the ground at all. But after a, you know, rally for Trump, it's
all the time.
It's
usually trashed. Yeah.
It's really crazy. Is. Yeah. Talking to John and Gordy from 92.7 WMDX, right?
You got it.
Mm-hmm. See what? Look at that. The show prep. It's all about the show prep. So,
you did it.
So we've gone over the No Kings rallies and the Badger game, and have we all just kind of collectively moved on from the Brewers, or are we still in any kind of a mourning period for what happened with the Dodgers?
No.
The Brewers did the best they could, and it wasn't nearly good enough.
We could see them petering out. Yeah. This was going to be a bad event, and it was, so it's done.
Like I was saying, when you saw that game, when you saw Shohei Ohtani, what he did, you know, I mean, I was awestruck, to be quite honest with you, because
I
know what he does, but then when you see him do it to your team, you're like, I can't even be mad. I just got to admire the guy for doing
absolutely
this.
I agree.
Three homers and
strikeouts and
unbelievable. Yeah,
I know. What else were you guys talking about on the show today?
Well, we were talking about the Packers and finally pulling it out at the end, where they've been normally losing the games at the end, but this was just a fantastic win. And the fact that a kicker comes in the second time he started for the Packers, he was going to go into teaching momentarily, and then all of a sudden the Packers called him up. He goes out there and he makes a record kick. A Green Bay Packer record kick.
It made me wonder. I suppose, do we know what he's getting paid? We know it's more than a teacher, because otherwise he'd have said no thanks. But that's a pretty good swap of paychecks, you know, for the work that he does.
But we had Jan Stenerud. We had these great kickers with the Green Bay Packers. This guy comes in, he would have been going into teaching had he not been called up by the Packers. Second game, and he kicks a record field goal, I believe.
So let's say this happens to you. Mm-hmm. Who? What team? What sport could call you and say, "We need an emergency walk-on, and you're the guy"? So is it John the impromptu hockey goalie? Is it Gordy the impromptu place kicker? What would get the call for you? What would you be willing to do to try as a walk-on?
Oh, yeah! Wow, that's a really good question.
And while you contemplate that, keep in mind that one of my favorite things I like to say during any time there's an Olympics is there should always be one regular person competing in this thing so that you know how good these athletes are. So, like, when they're swimming, way down at the bottom of the screen in lap 8, you know, is Floyd, who's otherwise, you know, a janitor at the arena, and he's trying his best, you know, swimming down there in lane 8, or somebody running in the other lane. And, you know, it's good to appreciate that these guys, even these walk-on kickers, are pretty darn good. So now they've given you time to think about it. What could you conceivably be called in to do?
I'm glad you brought up sports, because I was really good at the javelin throw when I was a teenager.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I went to an overnight camp for 2 weeks. My parents obviously needed the break, but they had an Olympic day, and I threw that spear farther than any other camp counselor, anybody at the camp. I was so good at it because I watched a lot of, you know, Jungle Jim and Tarzan movies and how the natives threw the spears. And I watched it because they always projected. They always put the weight of the spear on the front end and they pushed it. And it was just the way to do it. And
I've never been so thankful to be a distance coworker right now that if you ever got upset,
look out.
I mean, whether it's Gordy or Alba, if something comes through the window one of these times and just right through the chest, we'll know who to suspect right away. Go. So, So javelin thrower.
Javelin thrower.
There you go, Gordy. Now what'd you come up with?
Oh, gosh. I the only thing that I was ever any good at sports wise was ping pong. So, you know, I don't think there's a call for
good.
It's in the Olympics.
Ping pong.
It counts. Yeah. Parker, how about you?
I was decent enough at tennis. So,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Sounded like you're being modest right now.
What about
now,
you, Pat?
It.
Yeah. There must be a water boy role in some of these things, you know, that somebody.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody
so you do. Go for a call up on being a water boy. I got it.
I would just. Yeah, I guess I would do that. If I had gone into sports, which quite clearly I did not, the two positions that I admire are like hockey goalie and baseball catcher. You know, in both cases, they're not your typical, you know, on offense, but they're very key to, you know, keeping the game under control and keeping the score from getting run up. And those are things I might have tried maybe in my next lifetime, you know, when I do crazy things like exercise, you know, and eat right. I might consider one of those things. But
they sound like safe parts of the team.
Well, catchers are that's the most difficult position.
Is
there
it really?
Is.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean you got baseballs coming at you at 100 miles and puck coming at you. Oh yeah, I mean there's definitely an element of and especially with these catchers nowadays, instead of getting in the traditional squat, they do the one leg sticking way out.
It scares me.
And I got to keep this friendly for radio, but a lot of catchers have been getting hurt badly in certain spots, because that's the style they use now. And I do not recommend. I'd rather blow up my knees than anything else that I could possibly talk about here right now. So there we go. So there's our pickup emergency sports. If you need any of us for any of these things, you guys know how to reach us. John and Gordy joining us from our Civic Media Station in Madison. And still ahead, we'll be talking to author Laura Bird all about book festivals around Wisconsin that are going on this fall. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
locally grown radio, WFHR.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again.
No!
Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Along with all the other great parts of it and everything. April, let's talk a little bit about the calendar here of events that you guys got coming up with PPO, and some really nice events coming up in November. You had me at donuts. All I saw was donuts, April. There's something else. There's some other words there, though, isn't there?
Donuts with grown-ups. We have November 14th, again, for our elementary students and their families. Anybody, you know, important in their household they want to bring in before school starts, we will have free donuts, coffee, juice, milk provided. And again, this is something that we're able to do due to the numerous families that participate in our fundraisers. We're able to put these events on. So we have been doing this one every November. This year it is Friday, November 14th, 6:45 to 7:30. Again, elementary students and their parents, their grown-ups, and their siblings.
Is this an event that people need to RSVP for or register for or anything?
Absolutely. We do have notes going home. I believe they did go home already, and they're due back today. We do obviously accept a few trickling in early next week. Just want to make sure we have enough treats for everybody, enough donuts. We don't want anybody to go empty-handed, and we also don't need the grown-ups to be taking them all home after.
Right.
Don't need them.
Don't need that. Yeah, don't need that. That's going to be a fun one. We'll be sure to mention these events on our morning shows and everything, make sure people are aware of them. You got some other stuff coming up next year. Do you want to touch on those a little bit?
Sure. And actually, there's one more in November. We have a community bingo with the Lions Bingo, and actually Mr. Bina is part of the Lions, so if you want to talk about that one a little bit more.
Sure. Community bingo. It is... And I don't have the date in front of me. Is it November
6th?
6th. Thank you. Yep. It's a Thursday night, I believe, November 6th. And that is 5:30 to 7 in the Ed Hoyer Elementary Gym. It's community bingo. So the bingo games are run by the Lions Club, but it's open to the whole community. There's a very minimal fee to play. There are prizes, and all funds go to people. And again, 5:30 to 7 on November 6th in the gym. At Ed Hoyer Elementary, it's a family-friendly event. There's going to be snacks there, a lot of fun. Everybody likes to get out on a winter night, so I encourage you to come out on November 6th to our Lions Community Bingo Night.
Got a trivia night coming up in January, April.
Yes, and that one, again, is something for our elementary students and their families. That one went over pretty well last year. We usually have books and candy for prizes, so it's kind of a mix, best of both worlds. Everybody goes home a winner. We also will be selling concessions. Again, it's free to get in, small price for the bingo cards or trivia cards if we do them, and then get to walk away with a lot of good prizes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And people love trivia in this area. Yes. That's going to be well attended. That's a great one. In February, you got an elementary school dance. Want to remind parents about?
And again, that is one more event we're able to put on free of charge for the students due to all of the participation at our concessions, etc. We have been using the same DJ for a while on that one. It's always a huge hit. The kids, I don't think they even use the chairs that we provide. They are moving the whole night. Picture opportunities, glow sticks, candies, all sorts of accessories for them.
Very cool. And the family movie night that's coming up in April, I wanted to remind them about that and mark that on their calendars.
Wednesday, April 8th, we will be having a family movie night sponsored by Rogers Cinema. We are able to rent out, you know, the entire theater room there to watch a movie. That is another one. I don't have the price in front of me, but I know a lot of it is offset, again, by the people organization. I am not for certain on the movie, so I don't want to list it yet in case they haven't finalized it.
We got a lot of time between now and then. I'm sure whether or not you guys, we'll have you guys back and maybe talk about some of these things as we get closer to them. And we'll certainly on our shows make sure that everybody knows. April, I've been doing this job for a long time, and there are a lot of I get really humbled in this job. There's a lot of cool things I get to talk about, and a lot of great people I get to talk to about their passions and different things. Not very often I get to say muffins with mom, and I am so happy to be able to say that phrase anytime I can say that going forward. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And again, that's like the donuts with grownups. We invite the elementary students, their moms, in addition, you know, dads, grandparents, anybody important to them. They're able to send out an invite to their immediate family and RSVP with whoever they'd like to join us. And that one is Friday, May 22nd. Again, it is before the breakfast time at the school, so 6:45 to 7:30, and muffins will be provided as well as coffee, juice, milk, and there are some pretty big muffins. That one is always a hit.
Oh, I bet. Is that another one that people should RSVP for?
Absolutely. And again, we just want to make sure we have enough muffins for the families and that nobody, you know, is turned away or goes without. We want to make sure we have a good variety. We've slowly picked up on what the favorites are, and anything with chocolate seems to be a hit, so we want to make sure we have enough.
Right on. And the of course, the end of the year school carnival is going on in June. We'll talk more about that, I'm sure, later in the year with you, Jim, when you join us and stuff. But I appreciate all this, and I really appreciate the details, the background on all that, April, and especially as you were talking and mentioning how important PIPO is and how so many of these events, if you could say almost all of them, might not happen without this great organization.
Yeah. James, if I could, I want to take a moment and give a shout out to some of our members that are in PIPO. I'm going to start with our faculty member, Mrs. Wilhorn. Mrs. Wilhorn attends every meeting. She takes notes. She's kind of the communication conduit back to our faculty and our support staff in the school. She sends out emails. She tells our staff what's going on. She encourages staff to be there. So thanks a lot, Mrs. Wilhorn, for coming to all those meetings. You know, just some of the people, and I apologize to the rest of people, but, you know, people like April and Sarah and Carly and Amanda and Stephanie, and the rest of our parents that take time out of their busy, busy lives of work and raising a family to come in and volunteer. And James, I see these families bring in things that take time at home. They're making things for our Fall Fest tonight, and they are going and soliciting donations from businesses. They are spending a lot of time for the children of Ed Hoyer Elementary School. And they do so much for our school. So we've always had a strong PTO, a strong PIPO at Ed Hoyer Elementary. The last 3 or 4 years, it's gotten like this huge shot of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. You can see from our calendar, there is a great event every month of the school year. So hats off to our PIPO, our parents, like all the work, the time, the energy they put in. It's just making our school that much better.
Hear, hear. Second everything you said there, sir. Parent-teacher conferences coming up. I want to remind everybody about those.
Absolutely. Another excellent way for our families to stay in communication with our school. We have middle and high school parent-teacher conferences on October 29th. That's a Wednesday.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Organized protests took place throughout Wisconsin and the nation on Saturday. Max Martinson reports.
Back in June, organizers of the No Kings movement held what they called the largest coordinated protest during President Donald Trump's second administration. On Saturday, the No Kings movement was back in full effect, with over 2,600 events occurring across the country in protest of what they call an authoritarian style of government. Civic media personnel were on the ground across the state, documenting protests in major cities as well as smaller communities around the state of Wisconsin. Protesters who attended Saturday's events came from all walks of life. Civic media reporter Lisa Hale spoke with Deb Fenzel from Oshkosh, who joined the No Kings movement for her grandchildren.
Because I feel strongly about doing this for my grandchildren and their rights. I'm not so concerned about me anymore. It may take the rest of my life.
Many protesters from Saturday's events were also part of a younger demographic. Civic media reporter Melissa Kay spoke with Natalie, a high school student from Wisconsin Rapids, who says that she's still proud of her country despite current leadership.
Don't be afraid to show up and be who you are and be proud of your country. I've had times where I'm not as proud of my country, but I have to remember that I'm not proud of the leadership. I am proud of the USA.
Protesters also included public servants such as Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, Civic Media reporter Sholly Pittman in Madison.
How are you spending your time? Because make no mistake, our time is being stolen with algorithmic precision.
Many of the protests from Saturday's events also included marches and demonstrations, such as in Milwaukee, where thousands took to the streets. For Civic Media News, I'm Max Martinson. Lisa Hale, Melissa Kay, Isabella Nieto, Parker Olson, and Sholly Pittman contributed reporting.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, breezy, with high temperatures in the lower 60s. For tonight, some showers, mainly in the evening, chilly with lows in the upper 30s. Showers redeveloping on Tuesday, mainly in the afternoon. It will be quite chilly and breezy with highs only in the mid-40s. Current temperature is 37.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You know, you can follow Up North News on social media. Just look up Up North News WI on your favorite social media platform. And you can follow this show as well. Just search for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Facebook. We've got our own Facebook page where we also stream the show live, along with the Up North News and Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages as well. Let's talk to author Laura Ann Bird about book festivals. There are a couple of nice ones coming to Wisconsin in the coming days. And before we'll find out some of the books that are going to be highlighted, we got to get to the basics about what is a book festival. So first, we got to say good morning to Laura. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, Pat.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, thank you for being here. So let's start with when we hear that there are book festivals, and specifically, we're going to talk about the Chippewa Valley Book Festival and then the Wisconsin Book Festival. What, Laura, is a book festival?
Well, I just want to say that they are for everybody. You don't have to be a writer or a poet or a real book nerd like me. Anybody can go, and you can just go and listen to an author who's speaking about a book or an idea that interests you. So these book festivals are free and easy, and they're a real celebration of ideas and storytelling. And I don't know about you, but I feel really fortunate to live in a place that values those things.
I totally agree.
And I just want to like reassure listeners out there that you don't actually have to read the book to go to a book festival event. I think people feel like they need to prepare somehow. You just show up, right?
I was going to say, the author's not going to quiz you like, you didn't actually read my book.
No, I think the assumption actually is that most people haven't read the book. And so they'll be talking kind of big picture about their books, and they're for everybody. So
What do you typically see? I mean, I'm guessing there's an area with like books and vendors, but then an area where like authors and other people speak, or are there other elements of it that I'm missing?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on what book festival you go to. I can speak to the Wisconsin Book Festival, which I'll talk about in just a minute, but most of the events take place at Central Library in downtown Madison, and they have a few rooms reserved, and there's seating, and the author is up front, you know, and everyone else comes and listens. And usually the author is in conversation with someone else. And so it's a conversation, it's a dialogue back and forth. And audience members can jump in and ask questions. It's really laid back.
Okay. So, yeah. And we'll come back to that one. But there's also the Chippewa Valley Book Festival, which is actually getting its start tomorrow.
It is October 21st through the 25th. Chippewa Valley Book Festival, check them out online, cvbookfest.org. They are offering both in-person and virtual events, and all of them are free. They do want you to register ahead of time, though, I think just to kind of get a handle on numbers. And all the events take place at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. And they have a bunch of people coming and speaking, but I just wanted to focus on three exciting titles that I think might get people excited to go. And I do want to say, too, to listeners out there, even if you can't attend these book festivals, stick with our conversation here because I have some really good recommendations. I mean, all these books are like buzzy and hot this fall, so you'll get some good reading ideas.
Okay.
So the first one is food writer Lori Frederick is coming to talk about her new book, Wisconsin Field to Fork, Farm Fresh Recipes from the Dairy State. I want to buy a copy of this for myself. It's a cookbook that weaves the stories of local farmers with 70 recipes using Wisconsin grown ingredients. And so she really offers a fresh perspective on the value of local food. So I think that'll be a great one.
That will be. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Christina Clancy, beloved Wisconsin author, who is delightful to listen to and engage with. So she'll be really fun at her presentation. She'll be talking about her latest novel, The Snowbirds, which explores a Midwestern couple's attempt to work on their relationship. And they do that by trading their harsh Wisconsin winter for the sunshine in Palm Springs. And everything goes great. Until it doesn't. So she'll be talking about like midlife, long-term relationships, and the power of place. And last, Leif Enger, Minnesota author from Duluth, who I love. He's one of my favorite writers. He'll be talking about his latest novel, I Cheerfully Refuse. And this is kind of an interesting book because it's a strange mashup of literary fiction and dystopian fiction. And I don't know how Leif does it, but he does it, and it's tremendous. And it's the story of a musician who sets sail across Lake Superior in search of his departed wife. And he sort of is like this modern day Gulliver figure as he navigates the wild sea. So it's really good. Okay. Yeah.
So those are being highlighted at Chippewa Valley Book Fest.
Yep.
And again, that is cvbookfest.org. I'm looking at their website here where it says you can listen to stories, engage with the authors, you can inspire young writers, you can create some lasting memories. There's all kinds of things that you can do there,
there is.
At the Ellie Phillips Memorial Public Library, downtown Eau Claire. Let's get over it out to the Wisconsin Festival, which, like you mentioned, is there in Madison.
Yes, and I'm kind of biased here because I'm an ambassador for the book festival, so I could talk about it all day. I love it so much. Truly, it's one of the largest and most respected book festivals in the country. It's really huge. It's October 21st through the 25th, and Wisconsin Book Festival does offer programs and events throughout the entire year, but this is the 4-day centerpiece. There are more than 70 presenting authors participating in 55 events over these 4 days, so it's huge. Most of the events are held at Central Library in downtown Madison, but not all of them. So you're going to want to check the schedule, which is found at wisconsinbookfestival.org. Every event is free and open to the public with no tickets or registration required. And you kind of alluded to this before, and I'm glad you mentioned it. There are 3 local booksellers here in Madison that are having like pop-up stores at Central Library. So you can actually buy the books that are featured. And in almost all instances, the authors will be there signing them, which is really cool. Yeah.
All right. And you got some of the books that will be highlighted?
Absolutely. I've got some great ones. I should also mention, too, if you don't live close to Madison, the festival tries to record almost all of the events, and then they'll be put up online a couple weeks after the event. So make sure to check the website so that you can actually watch.
I noticed that on the website.
Yeah.
That's a great feature.
It's really cool. So the first book, I'm biased again because I'm so excited about this one. It's Destroy This House by Amanda Yulee. I'm actually her conversation partner on Friday night. So I'll be sitting up there asking her about her memoir. This book is so good. It's about growing up with a mother who had a really serious hoarding problem and a father who never quite told the truth to Amanda and her little brother. It's a really hard story. I give her a lot of credit for telling it. You know, she got through her childhood, and here she is on the other side, writing in this really fresh, engaging voice. So we're going to have a great conversation.
Okay. And that, again, that was Destroy This House.
Destroy
What's our
this
next
house.
One?
Fiction by Great... I'm sorry, the title is Great Black Hope, and it's fiction, and it's by Rob Franklin. This is a really buzzy book this fall. It's a debut about a young black man caught between all these worlds. He's caught between race and class, glamour and tragedy. And the main character is Smith, and he has to deal with his friend's mysterious death and his own subsequent arrest. And so this story takes you from like the nightclub to the courtroom. So that'll be really good. Okay, this is going to be a hot event at Wisconsin Book Festival on Sunday. Mary Roach is coming to talk about her newest nonfiction title, Replaceable You, Adventures in Human Anatomy. So she is really famous. She writes about science in a really entertaining way, and all of her titles have just done really, really well. So Replaceable You is her latest, and in it, she examines regenerative medicine. And that's sort of like looking at the questions prompted by the failings of the human body. Like, how does a person decide if they would be better off with a prosthetic limb? Can a donated heart be made to beat forever? I don't know the answers, but Mary Roach does, and she'll be talking about them.
Okay.
Yeah. Another really hot book this fall is The Dream Hotel by Leila Lelami. If you like sci-fi or kind of dystopian stuff, this one is going to be for you. It's eerie and urgent, and it explores the seductive nature of technology. And the author asks, like, how much of ourselves should remain private? And can even the most invasive forms of surveillance capture who we really are? So that's going to be a really good one.
Yeah.
Switching topics entirely, let's talk about cheese. This is okay. A great new book out called The Wisconsin Way, Cheese Making in the Driftless. And of course,
and by way, of course, W-H-E-Y.
Yep,
right?
Yep. Okay. And the four authors, Nicole Bajeski, Kristen Mitchell, Keith Burrows, and Leslie Damaso, traveled through Western Wisconsin from Schulzburg to Westby, and they met with all of these cheesemakers. And this book tells the stories and really celebrates their dedication to our state's incredible cheesemaking tradition. And I have heard through the grapevine there will be samples at this event.
Oh, well, so, okay. Now, yes. Now we're putting food in the mix here, too.
Exactly.
All right, good. Yes. Nice. All right, what's next?
Two last novels to share with you. Middle Spoon by Alejandro Varela is hilarious and heartbreaking. The main character, the narrator, is living the dream. He has a doting husband, two precious children, and a sexy younger boyfriend. So this book sort of skewers the unspoken rules we live by and offers some really surprising perspectives on love, loss, and reinvention. So I think this will be a great one to go see. And last but not least, ending on a high note, The Phoebe Variations by Jane Hamilton. So Jane Hamilton is a Wisconsin legend. She is a novelist who lives on an apple orchard in the southeastern part of the state. And if you recognize her name, it's because way back, her two early books, The Book of Ruth and A Map of the World, were not just New York Times bestsellers, but they were also Oprah Winfrey book club picks. So Jane Hamilton, she's just wonderful. So this is her latest. It's hot off the press. Again, it's called The Phoebe Variations, and it's a coming-of-age novel about daughters, mothers, and finding one's way in the world. And of course, Wisconsin plays a big part in the story. It's one of the settings there. So.
All right. So these are all that will these and many more will be highlighted at the Wisconsin Book Festival, wisconsinbookfestival.org. That's easy enough for you to find.
Yeah.
And then the Chippewa Valley Book Festival, which begins tomorrow in Eau Claire. That is cvbookfest.org. So it was great that you happened to know that these couple were coming up on the calendar and helping people know, because, I mean, is this like a book festival season, or is this kind of a year round thing that you'll see different communities have book festivals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually, there are some other book festivals in Wisconsin that are also annual events, just like the two that I spoke about. If you live in the Waukesha area, the Southeast Wisconsin Festival of Books is coming up also. That's November 7th and 8th. The website for that is sewibookfest.com. That's an annual event. And then next year, looking forward to 2026, in the Stevens Point, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids area, that is the Central Wisconsin Book Festival. And that's usually held in September every year. As is the Washington Island Book Festival. So those are annual events. You can look out for those.
Where you can add to your ever-growing to-be-read list.
Yes, the TBR. You should see my TBR. It's huge.
I was just going to ask how big the TBR list is right now for you, Laura.
I have TBR stacks around my house. Ask my husband. He's always tripping over them. They're everywhere.
Sounds like somebody needs TBR triage to be done over here. Laura Bird, thank you so much for telling us about the festivals, and we'll talk to you next month. Thanks. You so much. All right. Have a wonderful day. All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to Jane Matinair. She and Greg Bach will have Matinair on Air coming up from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And don't forget, tomorrow we'll have my interview with Francesca Hong, also Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, live from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. That's all tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? you may need to rebalance. One more thing. If you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. A 10-year warranty plus 1-year maintenance and remote monitoring are included in every Generac installation. Call Econ Electric, Inc., your local certified sales and service Generac dealer, at 715-423-8440 to schedule your free estimate.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, back now with Jane Matinair. Matinair on Air, coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network. You and Greg Bach, hopefully, I mean... I know you kids have been arguing lately.
My goodness. Things got hot.
Somebody was listening during the commercial break here, and PJ writes, Greg's breakfast sounds boring. So that's a spoiler alert. There's going to be a breakfast debate coming up on today's show.
Well, for the last half an hour of the show, Pat, we call it audio sorbet, where we get away from the news and just talk about lighter things so we all don't collectively lose our minds. And we were talking as we were prepping the show this morning about what do we want to do for audio sorbet. And it's chicken and waffle day, which I know you mentioned when you do this day in history.
I think we overlooked that one, Parker.
I did not see that.
It is chicken and waffle day. And this led to a discussion about whether or not sweet things should ever be involved in breakfast, which led to a 15-minute argument.
Okay.
We were getting ready for the show. So Breakfast Wars will be our audio sorbet topic for today. Can you have waffles with syrup and a sausage croissant? Or is that a food crime?
I love food fights on the radio. I do. I love food fights. So that'll work out just well. And by the way, while we're doing things in the comment sections here, let's see. Alicia says, I'm not a chicken and waffles kind of lady, but she says, I did just get a new bookshelf to hold my growing TBR, meaning to be read. So with all of the recommendations that Laura just gave us. I know there's a lot of TBR on the bookshelf here behind me, but it's my TBR IR list to be read in retirement, because that's probably when I'm going to have time for that. So what else you got happening on today's show?
Well, today we are going to talk. We're going to start off and talk about the No Kings rallies. Mm-hmm. One of my sisters and I went out on Saturday. We were in Brookfield
And it was a very positive experience, except for, I would say, the three cars who drove by and insisted on flipping us off. They were the angriest people I recall seeing. I kept asking folks, are you Antifa? Are you, you know, do you have your Antifa?
Yeah, where's your George Soros check? Yeah.
Card-carrying member of Antifa, because that's what all the Republicans who had said who was going to be out on Saturday. And nobody claimed to be with Antifa, and no one had a check from George Soros. So I was very disappointed.
I know. Come on, George. Let's pony this stuff up,
Step
please.
Step it up. Yeah. Dude, I mean, come on.
The guy says you're paying us, so it must be true.
Also on the show today, Pat, we are going to talk about the shutdown. Brian Stile and Gwen Moore were on Upfront on WISN over the weekend. By the way, Brian Stile's been off of work for a really long time. If you wanted to leave him a call, you could probably do that and tell him what a fine job he's doing.
Yes.
Also coming up on the show today, all the best commutations. George Soros, of course.
George Santos. I'm sorry.
Different yes. George.
George Santos. Again, when you elect a criminal as president, the criminals are going to be released from prison and replaced with folks like us.
Yeah,
who have not committed crimes. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. And again, I don't know where, you know, the tipping point is for any given person. But once again, I'm pretty confident that there were a couple of people yesterday that were like, really?
Yeah.
We're letting George Santos out now. So I could see where that would be the case. I'm betting you're as well going to get into Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem's new private jets. Jets. Plural. J-E-T-S. Jets.
Two jets for Kristi. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think I have determined why she needs two separate jets, Pat.
Why?
It's one for her and just one for her hair extensions, because they can't travel at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
The weight is too much, so you have to spread it out over two private jets. It's only $172
million. Only $172 million, which they can afford along with a ballroom for the White House, endless golf trips. You've got the military occupying cities. You've got all of the ICE hirings and raids that are going on. You're getting a plane from Qatar that you have to retrofit for like $400 million.
But he gets to keep.
We'll give you a base in Idaho as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the $40 billion that's about to go to Argentina. While our farmers have no market, and Trump's response was, well, we're going to buy more Argentine beef, to which cattle farmers in the United States are like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And he was asked about that on Air Force One returning from a golf trip.
Of course.
About American farmers kind of feeling like they're getting the shaft. And he essentially said, you know, Argentina's having a really tough time right now.
It is. It's hard.
We need to help. I need to help Argentina because I like the president. And Scott Bessent, of course, he didn't say this, has a lot of friends who have invested in Argentina, but that's a whole kind of little side.
Well, that's the thing. You've got a leader there whose nickname is El Loco. Because
yes.
he is very Trumpy, I guess you could call it. And he is up for re-election later this month. And suddenly Trump, he was one of the few world leaders that showed up for Trump's inauguration, who came to D.C. And so, yeah, so El Loco is getting $40 billion of our money. And now maybe we're buying some Argentine beef. And I put all this in yesterday morning's newsletter. And, you know, just made real clear that at this point, there is a nickname for folks who still believe that this is a president who's putting America first. And that nickname is El Loco, because it's crazy if you think that's what we're doing here. You have a lot of ground to cover today.
We do.
You probably need 2 hours for this.
It will be 2 hours. Yes, absolutely. So I hope you can join us. You can always listen on the live stream. You can listen on the app. Catch us that way if you are not in the market.
Yes, and the app, and also by there's podcasts. There's so many different ways. So, but the best one, 9 to 11 weekday mornings.
I appreciate that, Pat. I appreciate that, Parker. Go have some chicken and waffles. Live on the edge. Push it.
All right.
Go crazy.
Not till after I hear you and Greg. One of you is going to sway me one way or the other. Thank you, Jane. Talk to you
Thanks
later.
A lot. Bye.
All right. Have a great day, Parker. Thank you for everything. We'll see all of you back here tomorrow as well. We've got a full load here. We've got Representative Francesca Hong talking about her race for governor, Dan Schaefer, Cam Stevenson, Steve Bowe, Dan Hagen, James Kelly. You're going to want to stick around. It's going to start at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning when we welcome you back here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We've entered the 20th day of a government shutdown, and there's no movement reported in the stalemate between Republicans and Democrats. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders tells CBS Mornings.
They need to negotiate. You know how much negotiations they've done? Zero. Our way or the highway.
CBS News has learned Republican senators will lunch with President Trump at the White House tomorrow. Vice President Vance to join envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner in Israel now to help preserve a fragile peace plan for Gaza. Kushner described his visit there to CBS's 60 Minutes.
It looked almost like a nuclear bomb had been set off in that area. And then you see these people moving back, and I asked the IDF, where are they going? Like, I'm looking around. These are all ruins.
Amazon bouncing back from a major outage.